Definitely had a lot of cross-reference sugyas this year to Masechet Pesachim, particularly to Arab Pesachim, as we get now within 30 days for Pesach, so we can fulfill Shloshim Yom Kodesh B'Chag as well. So just the last part of our sugya that we've been talking a lot about was about what the protocol for the bracha of Hamotzi and the mitzvah, the bracha of Alechem is to Allah say that. This got us to a very, very long sidetrack about why we have two matzahs, why we have three matzahs, and what's the minhag of this yontif, and mission yontif, all the above. But let's get back now really to the heart and soul of our sugya itself, that which appears in the Gemara itself, where the Gemara tells us that on Pesach night, you have to have a broken matzah in order to fulfill Lechem Oni, and then presumably you have to have other matzahs or matzahs there as well. There was Machlekes and Rishonim, according to the Rashbam, you have to have two whole matzahs in order to fulfill Lechem Mishnah. So you end up basically with three and end up with two and a half. And according to the Rambam, no, according to the Rambam, you start out with two like any other Shabbos and Yontif, and you break one, you end up with one and a half. So different opinions, and again, most of us follow the view of the Rashbam. We start out the Seder with three matzahs. But now that I have my broken matzahs and my whole matzahs, now when it comes to reciting the bracha or the brachos, which bracha is recited on which? So here I have two brachas to recite, a motzi and alakhanas matzah, and I have, in effect, two different options. I have either to make on the broken or to make on the whole. Again, when I say the word whole, I'm either meaning one whole or two whole, depending on the Rashbam and the Rambam people. So is there any point to this? Is this at all significant? Or just do whatever you want? So Tosfos in the 14th in the Maamar Kamos says, not so simple. It's not just the green light, do whatever you want. So Tosfos writes, one thing you shouldn't do. It's the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. It's four lines into the Tosfos. Second line and second word in the Tosfos. Second word in the line. Aval ein lasos hamotzi v'gam alechus matzah min haprusa. What you should not do is you shouldn't just pick up the broken matzah and make hamotzi and alechus matzah on both of those brachas on the prusa. What's wrong with that? Lechamoni. So why should I just do everything on lechamoni? Says Tosfos, that's a problem. Now, that would be a violation of a principle that appears in other Pesachim. Eight osim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. Where it discusses when I have two different brachas, two different mitzvahs to recite, and I want to knock them all, kill two birds with one stone. I want to knock them all off on one cup of wine. So the Gemara gives an example. Let's say a person finished the meal, and he's going to bench, and he's following those views that say you require bichsav bazel ala kos. We have a debaskin that it's only lechatchila in our benching ala kos. That's where most of the time we're not so careful about that. But there are some opinions in the Gemara that literally every single time you bench, even biyachidus, even without a mezuzah, you must bench on a cup of wine. So we can breathe a sigh of relief. Otherwise, we'd be walking around carrying bottles of grape juice with us to work. So we paskin you don't really need it, but there are some opinions that maintain you do. So you have a fellow who just finished eating, and he's going to bench alakos, and it's also time to recite Havdalah. So can he just kill two birds with one stone? We'll take one cup, and we'll make one bar prayer often, and knock them both off. We'll say bar prayer often, Havdalah, Birchas Hamazon, and everything. Is there anything wrong with that? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's not good. The Gemara says that ain't osim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. That's supposed to knock off two at one shot. We do something similar to that, but not what the Gemara is describing, because when we eat shalosh shudas, so we actually don't bench alakos, really. We don't recite the Baruch Pirag often, because according to many opinions, you don't have to bench alakos, and therefore you wouldn't be permitted to drink the Baruch Pirag often before Havdalah. So our custom is we put the cup off to later, and then we just make Havdalah on that cup. But in the days of the Gemara, when many, many people were really benching literally alakos, the Gemara says you shouldn't use one cup to knock off two, because eidos to mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. That's like a bizayon. That's like a disgrace to mitzvahs. I'm trying to cut corners in terms of it. I can't even bother getting two cups. I can't even bother making two perfect muffins. So why am I trying to cheat the system? So that's called. The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says there's a principle called eidos to mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. So the Gemara asked that very question. The Gemara says, wait a second. We do it all the time. We do it when Shabbos leads into Yontif. We take one cup and we make Kiddush and Havdalah in the same cup. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a violation of this klal, because Kiddush and Havdalah chad de milsahi. Kiddush and Havdalah is the same mitzvah. The Rambam writes that they're both sides of the same coin, they're both sides of the mitzvah of Zochar Shabbos Shabbos Nekacho, to designate, to declare that Shabbos is different. So that's the same mitzvah. That's not a violation. When you take Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah, which have nothing to do with each other, and you try to cheat together, and stichma don't work out, therein lies the problem. That's part of the reason why we have a question when you have Sheva Brachas. So first you bench, and then you start saying Sheva Brachas. So Tosfos quotes two opinions. Should we insist on two different cups of wine or not? So one opinion Tosfos says is that you have to have two cups of wine for Sheva Brachas, because otherwise, Enos Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. You're sticking together, you're lumping together, benching and Sheva Brachas. And the other day, Tosfos says, no, that's not really a problem, because Sheva Brachas and Brachas Mazel is also Chata Milsa. It's one thing. Chazawa Misakin, that when you have a Sudas Chos Mekala, so then there are six extra brachas that are tacked onto Birchas HaMazon. It's not that it's a separate mitzvah. We just coincidentally ended up doing, oh, by golly, it's time to bench. Oh, by golly, it's time to make Sheva Brachas. That's not what happened. Sheva Brachas is the natural continuation. It is the special Tkaras HaChamim. All year long, you bench X amount of brachas, and in the Chos Mekala, then you add on a few more brachas. It's not a separate. It's like saying, when I bench on a coast, I need a separate coast for each of the brachas of benching. It's ridiculous. It's one mitzvah. So Sheva Brachas is just the extension of the mitzvah of benching. So those are two different opinions. So our customers, we actually do insist on two kosos, but not everybody agrees. We'll get back to our story. So there is a principle called Enos Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. So Tosa suggests that if you're going to make hamotzi and alchas basi, you're going to lump both brachas onto one piece of matzah, that's going to be a violation of Enos Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. So what do? So you have to split them up. How do you split them? We'll have to see in a moment. But one thing Tosfos is saying is that it's a problem. It's going to be a violation of Enos Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. And then Tosfos backpedals a little bit. Tosfos says, no, not so simple. The Nira Lisis tells us at the end of the line, the Havi Bracha Shon Nehanim, the Enam Mikroim Chavilos Chavilos. Tosfos says, wait a second. Chavilos Chavilos means that I try to knock off two mitzvahs on one coast. So I try to knock off Pichs and Mazel on coast, and I try to knock off Avdallah on the same coast. Or Kiddush and Avdallah, not for the fact that they're two sides of the same coin, that would have been a problem. Over here, one of the brachas that I'm reciting on the matzah is a Birchas HaNehanim. So I'm reciting one Birchas HaNehanim and one bracha on eating the food, enjoying the food, and another bracha, a Birchas HaMitzvah, Al-Achilas Matzah. Tosa says, since when is that a violation of Enos HaMitzvahs, Chavilos Chavilos? And Tosa proves it, that Kiddush Mevarachim Kiddush and Birchas HaYayim. That's it, when we make Kiddush. Make Kiddush on Friday night. So we said, wait, a new chumrah. You need two cups of wine for Kiddush. You know why? One for the Bar Priyag Ofen and one for the Bekadosh HaShabbos. Otherwise, that's Chavilos Chavilos. So says, that's a job. It's a Leitzonos. It's not Chavilos Chavilos. Chavilos Chavilos says, when you try to cut corners at two mitzvahs, yeah, one of the brachas is a Birch Zedet. That's like cutting corners. You make the same bracha, Birch Zedet, and then you make the Birch Zedetzvah. So Tosfos is noted to say that there's no problem, but not everyone agreed. So why? There should be a problem. It's not 100% clear. But there were days of Rishonim that said that there is a real problem, that you can't recite that motzi and Achilas Matzah on the same matzah. Okay, so let's naniach for a moment that opinion, that chumrah, that you have to separate the two brachas. So how do you separate them? So which bracha goes on the whole matzah? Which bracha goes on the broken matzah? So comes Tosfos. Let's go back now to the 14th of Rambam Kamos. So Tosfos writes in the second line of that Tosfos, going backwards, in the middle of the line, so Tosfos says that in terms of the betziah, literally the slicing of the bread, in this case the breaking of the matzah, slicing of the pita, whatever your matzah looks like, so the breaking apart of the matzah in order to give everybody a piece to eat, so that should really be happening on the shlema, because that's the one that you make yamotzi on. So your kavana is, I have, again, according to the Rashbam, I have 2.5 matzahs, according to the Ram, I have 1.5 matzahs. I'm making yamotzi, and the bracha of yamotzi is really taking effect on the whole matzah, and the bracha of alachilas matzah is taking effect on the broken piece of matzah, and then I should eat a little bit of both. I make two brachas, I should eat a little bit of both of the pieces. So why was it obvious to Tosfos that alachilas matzah is the one that relates to the broken? Seems pretty obvious. Alechel Matzah is the bracha on the mitzvah of Alechel Matzah. Lechem Oni is part of one of the details, one of the conditions of the mitzvah of Alechel Matzah. The Torah says that you have to eat a bread that's Lechem Oni. One of the interpretations of Lechem Oni is a broken piece. So you put two and two together, you make the Alechel Matzah and the broken. So if you hold, like Tosfos thinks in 2-3 lines later, You can make everything on one piece and no big deal, no problem. If you deny mitzvahs, chavilas, application here, so just pick up the broken matzah, say everything on the broken matzah. But because Tosfos in the beginning is concerned lest there be a problem of mitzvahs, enos, mitzvahs, chavilas, chavilas, so we are forced to separate the brachas on different matzahs. So logic dictates that the alech of this matzah should relate to the broken, that's the mitzvah, and amot, the other goes on the shleimer. Notwithstanding, she did that Tosfos, the tour in the 15th of the Marma Kamos. So the tour writes, it's the third line, in the end of the third line of the tour, the 15th Marma Kamos. We've been Eishi Yesh Bisha Omer, Shemavarech Ala Prusa Hamotzi, Ala Shleim Alachos Batza. The tour quotes a totally opposite opinion. What is that? That you recite on the Prusa, on the broken piece, you recite Hamotzi. Why in the world would you do that? What is the purpose of reciting Hamotzi on the broken piece? So the Chora, these Rishonim are learning that Lechem Oni is a little bit different than the first way we learned. We thought that Lechem Oni means that's part and parcel of the mitzvah Achilas Matzah. One of the definitions of how to eat matzah is to eat a broken piece of matzah. That's the Torah, that's the Tzurah, that's the model of eating matzah. So therefore, the Achilas Matzah has to be said in the broken. Here, we say no. The idea of Lechem Oni is almost like a separate mitzvah. It's to show that my meal on Pesach is derech anios. On a regular Friday night, who would ever in the right mind think of putting half a challah on the table? They're crazy. You put a half a challah and you send it back. On Pesach night, nebuch, because I'm an ani, because my darkish ani b'prusa, so I want to make my suda, that I'm conveying my suda on a broken matzah. So which bracha is the bracha that starts off the suda? The hamotzi. It's not the alechilis matzah. Alechilis matzah, I can be yaitzi, a whole matzah, broken matzah, my nef kibina. The lechem oni is a kaveya that by achila on Leil Pesach is a different kind of an achila. It's an achila derech anios, and therefore it's more correct to recite Hamotzi on the Prusa. Once I recited Hamotzi on the Prusa, I cannot then recite the alechilis matzah on the Prusa because the Torah is following those views, but that's a concern of mitzvahs chavilos. So what do I have to do? So strangely enough, I have one matzah left and one bracha left. So I got to flip it around. So I recited the Hamotzi on the broken, and Bemela, I recited the Alechilas Matzah on the whole. So we now have three different possibilities in Rishonim. What should the protocol be at the Leil HaSeder? So according to what Tosfos, what the Ikra did is, the whole thing is not true. The whole thing, we're driving everybody crazy for nothing. Just pick up whatever you want and say whatever you want. And sure. I ending up with more than one bracha on one matzah. Who cares? It's Birchas Hananin, and Birchas Hananin is not subject to the limitation of mitzvahs chavilos. But within the Rishonim who are concerned with mitzvahs chavilos, then you have a further breakdown as to which bracha relates to which. So Tosha says, obviously the Lechemoni relates to the broken. The Torah says, no, the exact opposite. The Lechemoni relates to the broken one is the more correct to be shayin Havotzi on. What do you do? So comes the Torah and says, that's why our practice has become back to the bottom of the tour, two lines to the bottom. We want to make everybody happy. But we spend so much money on the matzahs, might as well get it right according to everybody. But the everyday yaitzeh, no matter what, but the everyday yaitzeh, if you have no lechemish, the everyday yaitzeh, you take a matzah out of the box, yaitzeh, no matter what. But lechatchil, lekach, arotzeh, let's say, sidei shneim, yecho shneim yado. They should hold both matzahs in your hand. Recite both brachas, and which bracha is relating back to which matzah? Let the Rebbe Shalom decide. I'm throwing up my two brachas. I have my two matzahs in the hand. So if the Torah is right, so bracha A goes on A. If the Torah is right, bracha B goes on A. Whatever happens, it happens. And then what do you do? Then you break both together. Everybody gets a little piece of that matzah. Everybody gets a little piece of that ches matzah. Anyway, you have to supplement by bringing out more matzahs. You don't have enough matzahs anyway for everyone's kizayas. And you should. And that's the practice. That has become pretty much the standard practice in that community today. I think that's what it says in the Maxwell House Haggadah. That's what you're supposed to do. The Art School Haggadah. So when you get to Motzi Matzah, so usually the practice is as follows. Since most of us are having three matzahs, so when we make a motzi, we hold all three matzahs, pick up all three matzahs. I mean, not three, it's two and a half matzahs. So that way, we have our Lech HaMishra of the Rashbam. We have our Prusa according to some, that's supposed to be a Motzi. Then you put down the bottom matzah, so you're only left with one and a half matzahs, and then you make an Alechilas matzah. And the Alechilas matzah is going to be Tofes, it's going to relate to one of the two. And then what do you do afterwards? Then you break those two matzahs. The third matzah gets put aside for Korech. It doesn't have to be for Korech, but you need a matz anyway, so why should you get a new one? So you just merely use that for karech. So then you take from the one you have matz, you break off little pieces, you have a little bit of both the matzahs, everyone else has it, and then you have to sum that with other matzahs. There is some who added on to this mix that once we're making two different brachas, in a sense, two different matzahs, and we're not sure which is which, so some added on a chumrah, that you have to have a kezias of both. You have to have two kezias. We thought that all you needed one kezias for Pesach. That's true for the mitzvah of achilas matzah, you need a kezias. But now that we're making two different brachas, so maybe you should require a kezias from each. So no one exactly understands where that connection came from exactly. Well, how did that translate to be a kezias from each? But the Maaseh Shemurach quotes that practice. So it doesn't mean that much for us for the following reason, that there was a big, big machlekes aposkim in Europe about how exactly to calculate kezesim. The problem was because the Gemara tells us that there is a ratio between a kezias and a kebetza. There are different opinions, so it's a third, a half, but a kezias is less than a kebetza, and it's a ratio as to how much of a kebetza it is. So the Nedi Behuda did some research and started to measure eggs and he started to measure fingers and all the different cheshbonos, how to reach the Sheva Kezias. And he had a little trouble and he came to the realization there seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy in the shiurim, which led the Nedi Behuda to conclude that Niskatnu Abeitzim, that the eggs may have gotten a little bit smaller since the days of Chazal. So when I first, you know, when you first hear that, you think, ah, come on, the eggs get smaller. Like what happened? Like, why did the eggs get small since the days of Chazal? So I remember not that long ago, I Googled the size of eggs throughout history. And believe it or not, eggs have changed. They change based on the time and place. A lot of it depends on how much chicken feed there is, depends on other things and climate. And there are a lot of things that eggs are not absolute. Not every chicken in every single place in the world lays the same size egg. So it is possible that over different times, that there are different physical realities that cause the size of the eggs to get the bigger or smaller. So whatever it is, the Buddha claims that the size of the eggs that Chazal was describing, which will impact on the size of the eggs of the kezayim that we have, changed. And therefore, the halachic kezayis that Chazal was describing was actually larger than what we think of kezayis is today, larger than what we would think the ratio of the egg is today. So this was the famous chumra of the Nebi Huda. And therefore, and then Yudah insisted that whenever the halacha says kezayis, you have to double the amount. And others said it's not true. Others said, maybe there's a small discrepancy, maybe a small change, not such a big a change. So the Yesh V'Yesh, so the Mishabura has a famous psach, and it was Pesach, and the Mishabura writes that Lagabi didn't the Rabbanon and Abachliv to double a kezayisim and drive everybody wild with big twice the big shiurim. But Lagabi mitzvahs d'orais, so one should be more careful. How many mitzvahs d'orais do you have? Not that many. So the Mishmaru says, when it comes to the kezayis matzah, you should really try to eat a bigger kezayis. It should be bigger than the ratio of today's ratio is. It should be what perhaps the larger ratio that Chazal had in mind. So lechatchila we try to do that when they give you all the different shiurim about how much matzah to eat. So they're already calculating in that bigger amount. So it's very possible that the kezayis that you're eating is already two kezayisim. So vis-a-vis this chumra of every two kezayisim, we can be making all the small kezayis. So the bottom line is, if you have a big kezayis, if you have the big number that's in all the books and all the charts are telling you, so don't worry about it. You already have more than two kezayisim. The truth is, you probably have more than about 10 kezayisim because the shiurim that are given are rather large. I mean, you just open up your eyes and look at an aleph. There seems a little bit of a discrepancy between what's on the charts and the size of an olive. So again, when people ask me, Tachas, Rabbi, how much matzah do you have to eat? So I say, it depends how healthy you are. If you're a healthy young guy, you can swallow a lot of matzah, eat matzah, what do you have to sit? I don't sit and look, I don't check with stopwatch, I don't check with cars, or the cardboard. I take a nice gesunte piece of matzah and eat the matzah. If you eat the matzah at a normal pace, you are by definition eating it, techlas pras. The shear is, the halacha Moshe Messina is you have to eat a kezayis within the amount of time it takes you to eat three or four eggs worth. So to eat normal, you're not supposed to be talking anyway. You're not schmoozing. You're just eating, chew, swallow, and you eat a piece of matzah like a mensch, like a normal person. So by definition, you will have well more than a kezayis with the kedekulis brass. Some people don't understand that they take very, very big kezayisim. and they're starting to look for very, very small connections process. So they're shoving down a big kazayas, and the small, it's a mistake because the shiurim are ratios. Everything is a ratio. So if your kazayas is bigger, then your connections process is bigger as well. If your connections process shrinks, then your kazayas shrinks in turn. You can't have a big kazayas in a small connections process, just means you're going to choke. You don't get any key amount of that. So if you just eat a normal piece of matzah, a normal face, you're going to be eating the mitzvah. So if a person is not so well, it's hard for them to digest matzah. So then we start to look what the shiur really is. Like third amount, fourth amount, fifth amount, whatever, different rabban will give you different numbers as to how much is the smallest amount of a shear of matzah. But again, if a person's able to, they should try that as much as normally, you know, whatever amount of matzah they can have. So the bottom line is that we really have two different issues here that are converging. We have issue number one is there a problem altogether of mitzvah chavilos when it comes to the hamotzi and chavilos matzah? And in terms of love, there is a problem. Therefore, which bracha goes on which? And since we're not quite sure what the answer to that question is, the minhag has become to make a little bit of a combination that actually both brachas are said at both matzahs, and we hope and pray one of the brachas goes to its right place, and then we end up eating either a small amount of each matzah or a kazayis of each matzah. So this whole sugya prusa ends up lemaisa for us in terms of this compromise that we have adopted over the last several hundred years. Okay, that was just the shirayim of the last sugya. I think we have the makaros for the next one. Or we can start it.
Well, the makaros are in the box 508.
Everyone, you give a little piece of a broken, a little piece of whole, then you have to bring out more boxes. Or if you have 20 people to say, you're not going to have enough boxes. Yeah. In the next sugya, which talks about the issue of a hefsek, a person recites a bracha, then begins to speak. So even though the Gemara begins with Birchas HaNehneh, which is after Erech, the Rishonim quickly take this out to another application of Birchas HaMitzvahs, and the particular mitzvah that became the popular model for this discussion is the sugya that's called Tzach Ben Shechita L'Shechita. A person is shechting a lot of chickens, and then shechting kaparas. And the middle, he starts to talk. He made it ala shechita, and then he starts to talk in the middle. So how does that impact the bracha? So even though, again, we started with Birchas HaNehneh, the Rishonim are going to quickly segue out into Birchas HaMitzvahs. So let's begin just with our Gemara, and the first of the Mamakamos, Amar Rav. Tol Baruch, Eretzach Levarech. The person recited Amotzi Lech Ben Aretz, and then it is obvious he has to eat right away if he's going to have a hefsek between the bracha and the eating, and the bracha gets canceled. And he has to start over again. So Rav is mechadish to us that when is something considered to be a hefsek, that if it's not relevant to the issue at hand, but if the person is being mafsek in a way that's relevant, says Tol Baruch, he says words relating to the bracha in a tzachlevar, or have a melech have a liftan. What if he made a motzi and then he realizes there's no salt or there's nothing to shmir? He wants to shmir some egg salad on his piece of challah, so that he's allowed to ask for the egg salad even before he ate. Before he took a bite out of the challah, that's the tzorech ha'achila. So whatever is considered to be related to the actual eating doesn't pose a problem. It's in this Gemara where the Gemara says havi melach. The Gemara says that you have to put salt on your normal put salt on your bread. So the Rishonim point out that that practice probably doesn't really apply for zman hazeh, because the whole reason why they used to salt the bread, and they considered that to be significant, is they used to bake bread very, very bland. They would bake bread, it was a little flour, wood, there was nothing else in it, and it didn't taste all that good. So they had to give it a little kick. When you get a bowl of soup and it's a little schwach, a little water, it doesn't taste good. So you throw a little salt and give it a kick. So you had to pour a little bit of salt onto the bread to give it a little bit of an oomph. Otherwise, that was considered to be like disrespectful. You make your lech with oritz, bread tastes terrible. So they put a little bit, either some salt or some spread or something on it. That was considered to be more of a kavanah bracha. So the Rishonim write that our bread usually tastes pretty good. We throw a few things here and there into the bread anyway. So even the days of the Rishonim, our breads were much better than they were the days of Chazal. Therefore, the ikridin, you don't really need salt. Tosfos quotes a practice from one of the Balei Tazer made of Menachem, who said that even though you don't really need salt anymore, we should cover the bracha, afa b'chein, the right thing to do is to salt the bread for a totally different reason. So this week's parasha, post is actually last week, but the mincha is this week. The Torah says that when you have a korban, you have a mincha, so you have to put salt on it. So we want to view ourselves like we're eating for the mizbeach, we're eating shuk gavay, we're eating by the Baruch Hashem's table. It's a little bit like a mizbeach, so we put a little bit of salt on the bread as a zeicha to the mizbeach, zeicha to the karbanos. But that's not the real din of the Gemara. The real din of the Gemara was pouring salt on it to make it taste a little bit better. So if a person makes any of these statements right after he made the bracha, before he ate the food, that would be okay. So the Gemara starts out by saying that Tol Baruch is not a hefsek. Havi Melech may be a hefsek. Rabbi Yochanan afil Havi Melech will lift an ami and a tzorcha baruch. Rabbi Yochanan said none of these things are considered to be a hefsek, but gavul Torah tzorcha baruch. Rabbi Yochanan said that the person makes a motzi and then he stops and he says go feed the animals, that would be a hefsek. And the Gemara says no, even that's not a hefsek. Rav Sheish is afil gavul Torah ami and a tzorcha baruch. That even if a person made a moitzi lech menorot, he's sitting there with his bagel. Oh, wait a second, I forgot to feed the dog. Quick, go give the dog something to eat. You don't have to make another bracha. Why? Because that's also a tzorech ha'achila. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, also the Yom Shiyach, Kodim Shiyita, and Michael Behemto, that a person is not allowed to eat before he feeds his animals first. Shenema v'nasati eisim v'samchal v'mtecha v'hoda v'chalta v'savata. The order of things in the Parashat Kriyashma is, first you feed your animals, and then you take care of yourself. So you have to be sensitive even to the animals. You don't sit down to dinner before you feed the animals. So the post can point out, what if you have a human being who's in your house? So you have someone who's working for you. You have a waitress, you have a babysitter, someone's helping you prepare the food. So you're not allowed to sit down and have dinner until you offer them first. Very often they don't want to eat first. They want to eat when they're a little calmer, when the meal's up. Okay, that's their choice. You're not supposed to shove the food down their throat, but you have to give them an option. So you should not sit down and eat until you offer somebody else to eat first. We usually don't have, usually on Shabbos, we don't have anyone in the house, but Yom Tov, very often we do, depending on which day of the week is, whether it's the day when the Ozer usually comes. So very often in Yom Tov, we'll have somebody not Jewish, you know, is helping out a little bit in the kitchen. So I always go, right before we start our Yom Tov meal, I always go into the kitchen, I always tell her, please take something to eat. The problem is that one of them we have doesn't understand a word. Is there a word of English? So during the week, I can Google Translate for her, but it's hard to do that in Yom Tov. So I always tell my wife. My wife grew up in L.A., so in L.A., you usually got like a rudimentary little Spanish. So I always tell her, just make sure she understands what I'm saying. She doesn't just nod and say hello. Just tell her she understands that eat pizza. Usually, it's the universal language for food. It's called, she usually gets the point. But the dinner is not supposed to sit down and eat before you feed the animals, before you feed those people who are working for you. So therefore, that kind of a discussion, those kinds of words, don't qualify as a hefsek. So the starting point of a sugya is really two different points. That first and foremost, if you're mafsik between a bracha and the beginning of the eating, that is a hefsek to necessitate a new bracha. If the hefsek is with tzorech ha'achila, then that's not a problem at all. So now Tosfos begins the discussion, how do these klolim spill over to Birchas HaMitzvahs? Presumably they should be identical to Birchas HaMitzvahs, but not necessarily. So hopefully Mitzvah Shem will pick up the next time in terms of what the possible application from Birchas HaMitzvahs to the Rambam is.